Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for a daily editorial. It is Tuesday. I got to tell you something. You're not going to believe what we're going to talk about on today's editorial. Jimmy uncovered a story that of an event that occurred at the recent World Economic Forum. It would appear that the story broke from Citizens Free Press. When I tell you what it's about, you're not going to believe it. It's amazing. A very effective method has been, and we'll put the video on that shows this, has been instigated, which allows employers to actually visualize, see in black and white what a person is thinking, whether they are acting productively or whether they are just daydreaming. It's a very effective method of mind control. Tony and Out of the Box, you guys are going to love this, as are you, Avalon and PFS. Big Al is frightened when he sees what's on here. It's not going to affect me because I'll probably never be in the workforce again, but it sure is going to affect my children and it sure is going to affect my grandchildren, and it surely is terrifying. Jimmy, tell us about it.
Well, so at the World Economic Forum, the Davos elitist conference last week, there was a presentation and the video clip, and I think I sent it to you so you can go ahead and post it.
Yeah.
The video clip talks about a presentation, actually shows a presentation to different members of the WEF talking about how an individual, the technology exists to track what you're thinking and how you're functioning at your workstation based on some sort of, not even a brain implant, but just technology like earbuds or a hat or some other scarf, something along the lines that would just go around your brain. And the fundamental principle is that there has been so much research and so much data identified now on how to track different thoughts and views in the brain that they can actually monitor what you're thinking through the day and the processes, and then according to this video, would be very beneficial for managers to track productivity and where you're thinking and what you're doing, and potentially using it for law enforcement to track people's views and thoughts and who's connected to what events.
So what you're saying, Jimmy, and I want to stress this, is this device allows employers or anybody who wants to get this, who can force somebody to do it, to actually read their minds, correct?
Well, to a certain extent, reading their minds. And it's not a particular device. It's multiple devices that can be used. The technology exists today to track different functions within your brain.
Yeah.
And by tracking, they can isolate specific thoughts and views, whether you're happy, whether you're sad, whether you're stressed, what type of information your brain waves are giving out can be used to monitor. And the example they use in a video, a presentation, is a woman sitting at her desk, happy. In fact, she's, you know, succeeded in getting her memo out today, but then goes back and looks at her brain tracking and sees where she was stressed when there was a requirement to get her memo out. And of course, when she was happy, the music, her favorite song, pops on in her head in the example that they give. And then she basically, her boss tells her, hey, great, you're doing a good job. I can tell by your brain activity that your productivity's up, so we'll go ahead and give you a bonus. And then the next day, according to this little scenario, someone is being investigated by the Department of Justice for wire fraud, and everyone's stressed out about it, and they actually want the company, they've subpoenaed the information for everyone's brain waves to see who might in fact be connected to this particular guy who they're investigating for wire fraud. Now, this is a scenario, as the speaker identifies after this little presentation, this video, identifies, hey, the technology already exists. And when you combine this with tracking what you're looking at on computers, on the massive information that's collected on individual data for, you know, what you think, what you see on the internet, what your, you know, advertising adjustments, and then the AI component of actually analyzing this, and you include that with facial recognition, you include it with all the different pieces that are out there today. Basically, it's calling people, it's saying that you will be slaves to the managers, that you are now a digital slave if it's allowed to go forward.
Jimmy, how do they determine that the fellow who they nabbed for doing something that was, I would have to say, illegal, how did they find that guy?
You know, I don't know. This is just a scenario that they use. Okay. So it's I don't even know if it's an accurate scenario. It's just an example of the technology and the ability to actually do this today. And yeah, it's incredibly frightening.
It
gives
terrifying.
A tremendous amount of power to employers. And of course, it gives way too much power to people to actually start understanding and tracking what we think and do and believe.
Yeah. It's absolutely terrifying to me, Jim. Jim, I think I'd like to post a link to the video. It's something that was revealed, if I'm not mistaken, not Facebook, but the other one.
Yeah, Citizen Free Press. It's a Twitter.
You're right.
Video.
Right.
Citizen Free Press posted it. I sent you a link. We can go ahead and put that link from the Citizen Free Press right to that video for people to take a look at it. And yeah, it's incredibly frightening. I will tell you from personal experience in my last deployment to Afghanistan, the capabilities of AI in tracking and targeting individuals are unbelievably exponentially more capable than most people understand. If you combine it to what you're thinking, combine that technology with AI and tracking technology with either video surveillance or other type of surveillance, or just tracking your cell phone usage or what you read, what you think, it is a very, very frightening future. Someone has to step up and stop before we lose all sense of humanity and our own individual rights.
This would be about the ultimate action, in my opinion, the ultimate negative action of all of the actions that we've been talking about, Jim.
Well, and there are people, powerful people, that actually understand how valuable this type of tool could be,
yeah,
for productivity, for social engineering, for managing political outcomes and targeting unwanteds.
Yeah.
And we've seen that throughout history, where one group takes power and uses whatever tools necessary in order to maintain that power, including the destruction of thousands, if not millions, of human beings, as in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, Jim, I got to tell you, we've been talking about these subjects for a lot of years now, a long time. This is without a doubt the most terrifying subject that I have ever encountered on one of our weekend radio shows or on one of our daily editorials.
I think it's absolutely got to be, most people are not really aware of the level of technology that's out there for surveillance, and they're certainly not aware of the information that's being provided on, you know, brain research. Last night, it's funny, this happened this morning. I took a look at it. The article's been up for a couple of days. I didn't look at it. I didn't link to it until this morning.
Yeah.
But last night, my wife and I sat down and we watched a National Geographic piece on the brain. And it was specifically talking about how much research has been done and how they've been able to identify very specific places within your brain and how,
right,
to affect them and manipulate them,
yeah,
in changing memories, actually how you can change memories. And they're able, you know, scientists have been doing research and are able to do that. One example is this doctor, and this is in a National Geographic show. A doctor was testing a woman. He had implanted an electrode into her brain, into a very specific small location in the brain. He was having her read. As she was reading, he reached over and sent a small electrical shock to that location inside the brain. She stopped reading, went completely catatonic, was basically just functioning with, just breathing without any thought.
Yeah.
And then he turned it back on. She continued reading without missing a beat, but had no idea that she had, her brain had stopped working and stopped functioning. This is how dangerous and how absolutely scary the level of research and knowledge is on the brain and how to affect it. And in bad hands and people with bad intent, yeah, or even people with good intent, yeah, end up doing bad things.
Right.
Becomes very, in my view, incredibly problematic. And it's something that people have to wake up to.
Exactly. What are the chances that this thing will become a part of the daily activity, a portion of the daily activity of the average worker in the future? I would say it's pretty likely to happen, Jimmy.
I would say in places that have authoritarian leaders that, yeah, want to continue production and keep people controlled and managed, there's a high probability, yeah, it will be used. So in places like China,
yeah,
I would expect to see it. I would actually think that enough people will begin to wake up to what's happening in the United States to maybe stop it. Hopefully in Western Europe, people wake up to what's happening and push back on this type of technology and actually legislate to not allow, to make it criminal to get into somebody's brain.
Right. Of course it should be. There's no question about that, Jim.
Yeah, in my view. But again, when you have very powerful entities, and the WEF members are incredibly powerful, that are very connected to governments, governments that want control, there's a high probability that they will push this type of technology and allow major global corporations to use it to their advantage, because they'll get, the leaders, the political leaders get paid off. It's kind of a merging of politics and industry in these public-private partnerships,
yeah,
where mutually beneficial, and these problems don't affect those very powerful. They only affect the minions that they're controlling.
Right. Rather than talk about this anymore tonight, unless there are some, additional blockbusters that you'd like to discuss, let's plan on doing a recap of this on the weekend radio show, Jim.
Sounds good.
I think it's that important. Something else that I think is trivial in comparison to this that's happened is it's been discovered that Biden, when he left the vice presidential office, some documents, highly sensitive, restricted documents, were found in his possession in one of his private offices. This is exactly the same thing, exactly, that the Democrats are going crazy over in relationship to former President Trump. You want to comment on that?
Well, yeah, it is. This is just ridiculous that they're kind of stuck in this bind, the Democrats and the media that have, accused Trump of, misusing sensitive classified documents. That was an argument over where the documents belonged, whether they were in his possession or whether they were at the National Archives. And then it turned into the National Archives using, yeah, law enforcement powers in order to achieve a political end.
Right.
Now, what's happening, the complete opposite is happening with Joe Biden. The National Archives was not involved. These documents turn up for some reason. They are being looked for. My guess, it was actually lawyers trying to protect Joe Biden's documentation from connecting him to China and Hunter Biden's illicit activities to influence on him,
yeah,
and potentially legal ramifications and tax evasion issues for the entire Biden crime family.
Right.
And so this is a completely opposite problem. It was an administrative discussion, but the law enforcement and the Justice Department have been actually protecting Joe Biden,
yeah,
rather than going after him. The media has been very, very staunchly defending this and trying to put it to rest as well. It was just accidental. It was nothing to be worried about. And in fact, there's way too much overclassification. Avril Haines, the director of National Intelligence, former CIA director, actually testified the other day that, well, there's a lot of overclassification for issues.
Yeah.
But, yes, there are. I will tell you, honestly, did thousands and thousands of classified documents. Much of it is overclassified.
Yeah.
But protecting and actually covering up for the Biden family is far worse than overclassified documents, in my view.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the number of classified documents that were found by Biden's attorneys in his private office, in his residence, etc., if I'm not mistaken, it was about 10. And they're going to bring up the fact that there's a big difference, they being the Dems, they're going to bring up the fact that there's a big difference between 10 documents, and they are accusing Donald Trump of absconding with thousands of classified documents. That is a pretty big difference in volume, Jim.
No. What they're doing is they're saying there were approximately, with Donald Trump, approximately 100 documents that were classified.
Okay.
Now, with Hunter Biden, they're saying there was a hundred, or I'm sorry, a handful, and it's there's you know in three different locations, actually four different locations they
Yeah.
found them now. So we don't know how many pages of classified documents,
Okay.
because a classified document may be a 40-page report. You know, a national intelligence estimate may have
Yeah.
100 pages to it.
Okay,
So it may have been a lot more documents. We are unaware because the Department of Justice is not providing that information.
Yeah.
However, if you remember, the Department of Justice and the FBI leaked pictures of cover sheets for classified documents with Donald Trump's office.
Yeah.
Now, and so we have no idea the actual number of pages because there's no accurate count at this point.
Right.
And of course, remember, the big difference here, Donald Trump has full authority to declassify documents as president of the United States.
Right.
And he has claimed to have declassified these documents. And by all legal precedent up to this point, he can do that at any moment. Joe Biden never had declassification authority until he was president. These documents were from before he was president.
Very.
And oh, by the way, some of these documents apparently are turning up into, or at least information from them, into emails from Hunter Biden to other business dealings.
Yeah.
And of course, Hunter Biden had access to the locations where these documents were stored. So that is a very different story. No one has ever claimed that Donald Trump lost these documents or were used for any personal benefit at this point.
Yeah.
And of course, the FBI had looked at his storage facility at Mar-a-Lago and had recommended a new lock, which they did before
Yeah.
this National Archives pressure to get the Department of Justice involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Political hit job, political cover up. Two very big differences.
Of course, it is a political hit job and a political cover up. Of course, there's no question about that. You know, I want people to think about what Jim and I just talked about right now on the subject of classified documents. But what's really important, in my opinion, that you discuss is the brain control that we talked about in the first 14 minutes or so of this editorial. I think that's critical.
I think people need to wake up to what's happening in our society. The technology is overwhelming our capacity as human beings to manage it.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. Jim, thanks very much for bringing this to our attention.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.